IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good afternoon, Henna. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kathy. I want to clarify that the Uyghur are indigenous people of that land.
Yes.
Is otherwise known as East Turkestan. That is what they call themselves, Turkestani.
Yes.
And they're the origin, you know, the Turkish people today that live in Turkey. They came from that area. So it wasn't the other way around.
Oh, okay.
They didn't go from Turkey there, but they came, so Uyghurs and Turkish people who live in Turkey right now are the same ethnicity. We run the Save Uyghur campaign. We've been running this campaign for about more than 3 years. And it's been, you know, in my past life, I was a journalist. I've been writing about what has happened to the Uyghur people for more than a decade. This is we believe this is a genocide.
Yeah.
According to the United Nations terminology of what a genocide is, we believe absolutely this is not just a cultural genocide, this is a physical genocide. In 1949, the Uyghurs had established a state in that area, which is now called Xinjiang. And through the years, you have seen mass displacement. You've seen Hong Chinese being brought in from mainland China to live in East Turkestan, that region. And the reason why, and especially after the September 11 terrorist attack, the Chinese government developed a new narrative and increased this pressure on the Uyghurs, branding their persecution of the Uyghurs as a war on terror, and consequently tried to influence public opinion to believe this false presentation, even though they have been oppressing them for more than 70 years.
Yeah.
And just to give us some context to the discussion, Henna, maybe you can just explain a little more to us. So the Uyghurs are, they for the most part Muslims, correct?
Yes, for the most part they are Muslims. There are some Christian Uyghurs and some Buddhist Uyghurs, but majority of them are Muslims. And they have been Muslims for almost 1,200 years. And they live, their culture, their language is very different from Chinese. Their food is different. They're a Central Asian people. They're much more closer to the Kashmiri people or the Afghani people or the Kazakhs than they are to Chinese people.
Okay. What is happening to them? Tell us what is happening to them, Henna.
So what is happening is currently there are more than 3 million being held in concentration camps. And the Chinese call these re-education camps. However, the majority of people that are being held are the elite of the society, the poets, the philanthropists, the actors and actresses, writers, academics, leading figures in the community, in our group leaders. These are the people who have been taken into these camps and are supposedly being re-educated. And this is one of the most striking aspects of that, the destruction as a part of a group. You know, who is the victim here, right? What else is happening to them is that once they're in these concentration camps, they're put under serious torture, bodily and mental harm. They are being fed drugs that they don't not know what is happening to their bodies. Mihrigul Tursun, who testified about this issue before the U.S. Congress, she was detained and arrested 3 times and then sent to a concentration camp. And she says she wanted to die during the torture. She begged them to kill her.
Yeah.
She was injected with unknown drugs, had a device attached to her head, which electrocuted her until she foamed at the mouth. There's another Kazakh citizen, Gulzira Awalakan, who stated that the Chinese concentration camps were equipped with cameras and every move is monitored, including restrooms. If you stay in the toilet for more than 2 minutes, they hit you over the head with an electric baton. Aside from what is happening in the concentration camps, there are forced marriages, that Han men are being paid to marry Uyghur women. The children have been put into orphanages, so there's a total destruction of family life. More than that, the Chinese government has sent 1.1 million Han Chinese cadres to East Turkestan to control the daily life of Uyghurs. Their job is to stay in Uyghur homes, share the same bed with them if necessary, and to control all aspects of daily life. So this is their, it's called the double relative program. So now your husband has been, if I'm a Uyghur woman, my husband has been taken away to concentration camp. My daughters are being threatened to get married to Han Chinese men. I have to live in the home with a strange man in my bed. This is institutionalized government-sponsored mass rape, and we absolutely stand by this.
Yeah. Also, I mean, last year, I think it was last year, Asiya Abdullahat, she was a whistleblower, and she helped get documents in November last year. They became known as the China Cables. And I'm telling you this because anybody can go and Google this, and you can actually go and see the documents. They were top secret documents which showed how inmates of these so-called re-education camps are locked up, brainwashed, and punished. They contain instructions to step up discipline and ensure that there are no escapes. Now, if it's just the re-education or vocational camps, there's no term like escape. You're free to come and go as you please. You know, when you talk about, and I actually watched the testimony before Congress. I can't remember the lady's name, but it was so moving, and how they were given this they were given injections. This Asiya Abdullah had actually also spoke about these injections that younger women lost their periods.
Forced sterilization.
This is part of that entire forced sterilization. And this has been going on much more earlier than just these concentration camps. These stories of forced sterilization, forced abortions have been taking place over decades. And a lot of them were done to more religiously practicing Uyghurs or those in the villages. And it hadn't come into the main cities as much. But now we're seeing, and the big change came around when, Chinese, Communist Party leader who was over Tibet was moved to this region. So the techniques that he had practiced over the Tibetan people for so many decades were now being implemented, that we see that are being implemented in this Xinjiang region.
Why is so little being done?
Yeah.
That's what I want to understand. Purely because it's China and they're so powerful and so big, or is it just people don't care?
This narrative of war and terror, we're quelching terrorists. This is very powerful. And the other thing is this whole Chinese Belt and Road Initiative that is, and they're pumping a lot of money into African countries, into the Middle East, into Pakistan, Iran. So a lot of people who normally would have stood up for this in the Muslim world are now, you know, being smuzzled because of the amount of money they owe the Chinese Communist Party. And then here in the United States, activists have been working on this for decades, and we're finally getting traction. And then our work gets thrown into the dustbin because they say that this is Western propaganda, and this is just between the United States and the Chinese in the new Cold War. And this is very problematic because, yes, we understand that this is, the reason why the wheels are turning so fast now is partially, it is politically acceptable now to do this, but this has been happening for many, years, and especially these past 3 years. So a lot of work has been done by Uyghurs. They have come out, they have spoken up, and it's terrifying because they are being, even in the United States, we had to get a law passed called the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act that would protect Uyghurs in the United States because they were being targeted by the Chinese government here. So this is, and a lot of why, so that is one of the reasons why much is not done. And there's such a lack of information that is also coming out that is because the Chinese government has such a strong hold. It's not like if you see, for example, George Floyd, what happened, it was covered by the entire world because there's a free flow of information, right? You can put it on Twitter and it goes everywhere. Whereas Uyghur activists and human rights organizations have to do a lot of work watching TikTok videos to see where this is coming from.
True.
That drone footage that was, you know, serendipitously, was shown. So that is a lot of the reason why.
Hannah, if I could just ask you, and I really don't mean to be provocative, but I'm just thinking, you know, China is one of the most powerful countries in the world today. I'm thinking Taiwan, I'm thinking Hong Kong, I'm thinking Tibet, and I'm thinking the Falun Gong. To take on the Chinese one-party state, are you not looking for trouble?
Definitely, but it's good trouble. Our congressman, John Lewis, just passed away, and that's one thing that he always used to preach was make good trouble. So we believe, especially a lot of us in the interfaith movement, international religious freedom movement, anti-genocide movement, that this is imperative, because if this spreads, as you have seen, that China's the way the Chinese Party, Communist Party work, and I want to be very clear to your listeners, that when we talk about these atrocities, we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party. A lot of Chinese people themselves are victims of their oppressors, of this the Chinese Communist Party. So this is nothing, that is something I wanted to clarify. This is not against the Chinese people themselves. But this party has, its tentacles have spread, and so much harm is being committed at this time that the world has to wake up. One of the most egregious things that we see at this time is that China is on the United Nations Human Rights Council. How did this happen?
Don't worry, South Africa's also there. Don't worry about it. South Africa's also there. I'm sorry to make light of it, but, you know, Human Rights Council really doesn't hold a lot of credibility where we're concerned, you know, and clearly not where the Uyghurs are concerned. Why haven't they stepped in?
They haven't stepped in because it's been called propaganda. It's been called, so this is why for the past couple of years, a lot of work has been done on making credible, research-based reports on, for example, the Campaign for Uyghurs has issued a report recently. The Uyghur Human Rights Project, which is based in Washington, D.C., does detailed reports. They are interviewing Uyghurs who have escaped into Turkey, into Egypt, others around the world, make sure those narratives are captured before these people are also, silenced.
Yeah.
Another crime that I really, really, because this affects all of our daily lives, the shoes that we put on, the clothes we put on, we really have to wonder and question, where are they coming from? 80% of the cotton that comes out of China comes out from that, what they call the Xinjiang province,
yeah.
East Turkestan, 80%.
It's so pervasive. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So, you know, granted, it's going to be very difficult to get people to mobilize to not buy Chinese products. But what can you or I do? What are the things that we can do right here, right now? And I'm just watching the time. And I have no doubt, Henna, that we're going to speak again. But leave us with something that, a takeaway that we can do. If it's petitioning somebody, if it's petitioning our government, if it's taking to Twitter, if it's taking to social media, give us something that we can actually do.
All of the things that you said, what you're doing right now, educating people, support Uyghur voices who are in around the world. There's a database called the Xinjiang Victims Database. Please go look at it. Look at the 9,000 stories of family members who are written down their stories, amplify their stories. Look at these companies, the 83 companies the Australian Strategic Policy Institute has identified. Write to these companies in your local, Nike, Gap, Apple, write to them in your local areas. Ask them, question them. If you don't buy that product, go up to them and say, this is something all of us can do. I am not buying this because this is made from a person who's going through genocide. Just as the Nazis forced Jewish people to work, Uyghurs are also sent to work in factories similar, like yearly, that uniform
exactly.
Clothing, similar to prisons. All of that is happening.
Exactly. Arbeit macht frei. That's exactly what it was. Auschwitz wasn't an extermination camp. It was a work camp, right? Wasn't that the story that they sold? We know the story so well, Henna. Listen, I'm so sorry, but we need to wrap up. We need to leave it here. If you'd like to get hold of Henna, just go and have a look at the human rights organization Justice for All. Go and Google it, go and find it, make contact, and we need to start acting as a community because this is our story. Nobody stood up for us. People were silent at that time too. And you know what? Taking on China today was like taking on the Nazis then. So I think that we need to do our part. Henna Zuberi, thank you very, very much for your time. And we will certainly be in touch with you and just keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.